Hey, before we get going with the show, let me tell you about my good friends over at Hulu Plus. Oh, yeah, you've tried Hulu.com. Hulu Plus, so much more. Thus, the plus. Isn't that right? Good one, Ace Man. Write that down, man. Watch your favorite TV shows anytime, anywhere. Thousands of hit TV shows and movies right in your own living room or on the go with the smartphone or the tablet. Only $7.99 a month. Current faves like SNL, good friend Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, love that show, Scandal, all there. Or you can watch every episode of shows like Lost, Law & Order, SVU, Doctor Who? Yeah, Doctor Who, Community, it's all waiting for you. And exclusive Hulu originals like The Wrong Man and Behind the Mask, Hulu's new doc series about the world of sports mascots. Plus ad-free movies and kids content. Special offer for my listeners. Try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Adam for the extended free trial so they know I sent you. That's HuluPlus.com/Adam. Ah, yes, GoToMeeting. You want to start the new year off right? You want to be smart this year? Let's not do what we did last year and not use GoToMeeting. Let's use GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix. You want to get together with clients, coworkers? You want to do it even if you're miles apart? Easy. Save some of that jet fuel. Save the hassle. Save the pat down. Oh, with the weather and the travel and the airports and the snowing in, forget it. GoToMeeting. Improve communication. Cut time and money wasted on business travel, and it's easy. Just sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device, and you can launch your first meeting in seconds. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and projects in real time. Turn on your webcam. See each other face-to-face. Free. 30 days. That's a 30-day trial. Free. No credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam for your free 30-day trial. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. Hey, Chickapees. Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you. And you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rob Delaney. Plus, Allison Rosen on news, and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus Health Watch with Dr. Spaz. And now, Old Man Winter, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on, baby. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for spreading the good news and telling a friend we count on you. Thank you in advance. Thank you for coming out to Chicago and Buffalo and Vegas and seeing us pack the fudge in real time. And also, I'll be out in Detroit doing a little show myself. You go to AdamCarolla.com and you just hit the live shows, and you'll see we're coming to a town near you, baby. Good to see you, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
That was Ryan Fitzgibbons who wanted that on Twitter with the hashtag, of course, top drop.
Dr. Spaz, huh? Good to see you, my friend.
Good to be here.
Dr. Spaz, I was delighted, came over to the house quite a few times. Felt like 8 or 9 times, or probably only 2 times over the Christmas break.
Did I tell you what a lovely job Lynette's done with that house?
She's done a fantastic job with that house. She did the Dr. Drew and his kids are coming by about 3 o'clock, and then we're all going to go out to Pasadena and get something to eat and walk the dog and have a good old time. And sure enough, at 2:58, Dr. Bruce was here, but at 5 o'clock, Dr. Bruce was still in the house, and I had to scooch him along. Never.
Sandman came out.
I do a lot of scooching along, much more scooching along than I ever thought I would have to do as an adult. A lot of, well, what time is it? Woo, it's getting dark. Boy, if you guys are going to take the dog for a walk and get something to eat, guess you better get moving about now.
Oh, we had a nice time without you.
So long.
The streetlights are almost on. No wonder I'm tired. I could feel him start to heat up, the filament.
Less Dr. Bruce in your immediate vicinity?
Part of my stay-at-home vacation is not staying at home with a bunch of people other than me. You see what I'm saying?
His Bruce quotient was filled.
That's right.
As opposed to wanting Bruce out.
He stopped over on the way to Sacramento.
Yes. And mercifully not on the way back, by the way.
How many times did you hear this from me on your way out to Sacramento? Geez, that's a six-hour ride. You better, she's relieved now. You'll still be there after midnight.
Doing a lot of construction on the grapevine.
Yeah.
How about an anecdote, an Adam anecdote here? Like when I did Loveline, I had to be back in L.A. the next morning, and I sort of hinted, maybe I'd stay at your house. It's like 12 years ago or longer. And he's like, well, you know, Lynette really doesn't like people staying at the house.
She doesn't like gingers.
Yeah, I think that was someone else.
Freaks
that,
her out.
Part of the support for Lynette calling you an Asperger's. You don't like anything out of the play, the way it should be. It has to be just the way it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Super particular.
Yeah, I wasn't there 8 or 9 times, by the way.
I know. No, I said it felt like it.
Oh, excuse
me. It felt like it. You're only there twice, but it felt like 8 or 9 visits. You know what I mean? All right. Like when a guy has, like some sort of medical rectal probe or something, they go, it felt like the guy was force feeding a fire truck up there. It was really, nothing wider than a pencil, but that's what it felt like.
I resent your train of thought going right to the rectal probe.
Speaking of train, that's what it felt like going up my ass.
Bruce should come with a sign they have like on gas pumps, like do not top off.
Dr. Spaz is here. He's going to do a little medical report. I got stuff to complain about. Oi, do I have stuff to complain about. First, I think just to put me in a good mood, you can go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to see the picture of, who am I trying to think of? Oh, yeah, there's Robert Redford. We went out and got Robert Redford for our Paul Newman show. And
was there one day back east?
Yeah, real nice sort of candid shot of what the setup, what the interview looks like, and what Bobby R. looks like, as I now call him, sitting there back east talking about Newman. So that was very generous of him.
Be red. Bread.
Right. And I just thought it'd be fun for you guys to see a little little behind-the-scenes shot of the Robert Redford. Yeah, we're still trying to book Tom Cruise. So if you could give us a hand with that, that would be awesome. What's it say there? Let's see. Ah, book Tom Cruise. Yeah, it's the Twitter campaign. Try and do it. So if you know him or you can get to him or you got someone, you can retweet. But I don't know what you're tweeting. Does it say
There's there's tweets you've sent before that you can retweet, or you can just at mention Tom Cruise and use the hashtag book Tom and try to encourage him to be
Oh, okay. Does it say that anywhere up there? Oh, it says retweet. Yeah.
Your
get
tweet.
Tom right. All right. But yeah, just give me the business, Gary. I'll lay out the plan.
Just need a Scientology connection.
Thanks, Dick. Now, where were we? Ah, yes.
Don't say that.
I don't know why. I was sitting here with Dr. Drew today going down memory lane, and something jumped in my mind. During the break, everyone tweeted me this new study that came out about secondhand smoke, and I've been the guy who always said, look, I'm not saying it's good for you, but it can't be 50,000 people dying every year of secondhand smoke. It would show up on autopsies and things like that because of death. You would know somebody who died of secondhand smoke if this was true. Car accidents, we all know someone whose child or themselves or a friend of a friend who got into a bad car accident or possibly died in a car accident, but we don't know anyone who's ever died of secondhand smoke. And people kept tweeting me this article, and Dr. Spaz has it, and we touched on it earlier in the week, and he can just hit a bullet point or two.
Basically, it was a study in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. And it was 76,000 women over more than a decade. And other than a link between smoking and cancer, which we knew, they showed there really wasn't any link. Even in women that had lived with a smoker for over 30 years, it really wasn't statistically significant. The rates of cancer were not increased. So, but if you follow the dollar.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I hearken back to an argument I had. Bald Brian may remember it. With Barry Groveman, because he was the mayor of Calabasas at the time.
Ah, I was still screening calls for the radio show.
He was going to call in, and he wanted to outlaw smoking in parks in Calabasas. And again, I'm not the guy who says smoking in parks is good.
You love smoking in parks. You like to blow it into a baby's face.
I have never smoked a cigarette in a park in Calabasas or anywhere else. But I do like civil liberties. And I do understand that chicken shit, nothing laws don't help. We have many bigger fish to fry. And I'll tell you this. I'll make you this. Calabasas is sort of a suburb of Los Angeles. A nice one. When all the potholes are fixed and all the schools are fixed and all the crime is fixed, then we can focus on the secondhand smoke coming from the parks in Calabasas. That's the way I prefer to work. And that's the way I want our leadership working. If I have a football coach and our offensive line is a sieve to the point where our quarterback can't even work out of the shotgun and get a screen pass off, I don't want to be working on special teams and end arounds and trick plays. I want to shore up the offensive line.
This is called a flea flicker.
Yes. I want to give our quarterback 3 seconds to throw a pass, and then we can start working on the reverse on the kickoff. That's the way I work in life. And it's certainly the way I'd like our politicians to work. But anyway, he called in to my radio show back in 06.
Early 06.
And we had a little debate about secondhand smoke and if it was a first-rate killer or not. Here's what he had to say. This is another politician locking antlers with the Ace Man from way back in 06.
The question is, do we accept the public health implications of secondhand smoke, which are now, in 2006, irrefutable.
Yes.
And you have to be able to also acknowledge that 2 weeks after we passed this, the State of California Air Resources Board, in an unprecedented step, listed secondhand smoke as a dangerous air contaminant.
Yes.
And indicated that their reasons for doing that was because the 800 studies and all the leading experts provided information that was irrefutable, that this is one of the leading causes of preventable death.
Yes. So secondhand smoke.
That's right.
That's complete nonsense, obviously.
How do you know that?
Number one or number two preventable cause of preventable deaths?
Bruce is shaking his head.
Astounding. I mean,
it's astounding, but, right? Now, is he stupid or is he a liar?
He's a politician.
Okay.
They're both.
Okay, but you guys hear what we're saying? This is 06, and you're going, we have scientists, all the data, all the facts, all the everything. Right. Except for not so much. All right. It's insane. And by the way, this is why all you idiots should nod your head when these assholes talk. You should respond like I just did, which is you're fucking idiot. Which I would have said if we were on this podcast. Instead, I just said he was wrong.
So why... Bruce, why were we? I remember as a child, I was told secondhand smoke is a first.
It's lying through statistics. And
what were the statistics that led to the?
There
lies?
Weren't any statistics.
Well,
whereas we don't want you to smoke. That was we're on it. We know what's best for you,
right? But
we're on a journey of happiness where you don't smoke.
Right. In the article you gave me,
same with AIDS as an equal opportunity killer.
Yeah, there was something called Flight Attendant Medical Research Institute, which received $300 million after 60,000 flight attendants sued. So you follow the dollar. That's the other.
They're
place.
They're going to. Oh, by the way. Barry's not governing over Calabasas anymore. He's now an attorney in a Beverly Hills law firm. Oh. So he landed on his feet. And a perfect gig for him, right?
On his reptilian stuff.
Yeah. All right. Rewind it just a beat and a half.
Studies and all the leading experts provided information that was irrefutable that this is one of the leading causes of preventable death.
Yes.
So
secondhand smoke.
That's right.
That's complete nonsense, obviously.
How do you know that?
I'll tell you why.
Stop it. Fuck you. What's your background? Are you a scientist? Did you go to Yale?
Did you go to Harvard?
They always want to know what my background is. Yes. They know I'm not a pulmonologist who went to Harvard. That they know. So they can say that. What's your background? How do I know? What's your background?
I'll tell you why. I worked with a doctor for 10 years, and I used to pass the billboards that Rob Reiner put up that said 55,000 Americans die every year of secondhand smoke. Well, the doctor, Dr. Drew, brought in an article from JAMA one day that suggests as many as 7 people may have died nationally last year of secondhand smoke. And I would just ask everyone, close your eyes, think about the famous actor, the relative, the loved one, the neighbor, the classmate that has passed away because of secondhand smoke. Hold on. Let's just wait a second. You do the same thing, Mayor. Everyone close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. Now picture yourself watching the news. The great actor. The great musician.
Adam.
The politician. Hold on. The family member. The school teacher. The cousin. The brother. The sister. The neighbor. Close your eyes. Who's been snatched away prematurely by secondhand smoke?
Adam, first
hold on. Give it a thought. Okay, do you have anybody you know?
Probably Dana Reeve is one we can start with.
Oh,
and
that's
I would,
right.
I would also point,
hold on.
I can, if we have time.
Christopher Reeve's
that lung
husband.
Cancer was not related to cigarette smoke anyway. So, but she did work at a cabaret for several months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where people smoked.
What kind of cancer did she have?
She had lung cancer.
Oh, yeah, wow. But there are many different cell types.
People are allowed to die of lung cancer.
Yeah.
Who didn't? Did Christopher Reeve smoke?
No.
Is that why he fell off that horse? Did
the
horse die
smoke.
Of secondhand
smoke?
Smoke? big Winston in each nostril. All right, so Dana Reeves, he knows, died of secondhand smoke, although she didn't. She just died of lung cancer. Why she, as a person who was married to someone who didn't smoke, how could you possibly make that correlation? Wasn't a flight attendant. She worked at cabarets was his excuse, I remember, at the time. All right, again, these are politicians with statistics, everybody. Shall we listen to them? All right, smart not to listen to them in 2006. Shall we be listening in 2014 is my question. They're the same guys. All right, play on.
Probably Dana Reeve is one we can start with.
Oh,
and
that's
I would,
right.
I would also point, and I can, if we have time, I'm happy to get into that. There's also an
do you know Dana Reeve?
There's an extraordinary rise. I'll answer that one second.
Yes.
There's an extraordinary rise in asthma in kids. And here's the really the question.
That's right, because they're
but
home.
If I get a chance to finish.
Go
you know,
ahead.
You talk to
all right, so
ago.
You came up with Dana Reeve. That's the only one you came
let
up
me,
with.
Adam,
and
if I could.
But can I ask you this?
You can't shout over it.
Can I ask you this?
Really
can I ask you a question about Dana Reeve? Does it say on her desk? Certificate secondhand smoke.
If you'll let me answer the question. First of all, I respect where you're coming from.
All right.
It's interesting that while I was waiting, your discussion was all about respect. All I'm saying is that, first of all, the chief physician, the chief clinical oncologist at Cleveland Cancer Institute discussed issues like Dana Reeve when he pointed out that cigarette smokers have lesser risk than non-smokers. And the reason is that when you breathe from a hot plume of...
Cigarette smokers have a lesser risk than the non-smoker.
Yeah.
As Dr. Drew pointed out, isn't the person who's smoking the cigarette in the room with the secondhand smoke as well? So they're getting first and...
You smoke your cigarettes your way. We'll smoke our cigarettes and ours.
Can I say one thing? He said that the rise of asthma, but that makes no sense as something related to secondhand smoke because the number of people smoking has been going down.
Oh, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I want to know, I said, is there anyone you know who's died of secondhand smoke? You know. Do you know anybody? He didn't. No, I don't. So anyway, we'll let it go. Keep going. We have
smokers have lesser risk than non-smokers. And the reason is that when you breathe from a hot plume of a cigarette, the heat causes a reflex in the lung and you cough, preventing the smoke from going very deep.
That happens every time you take a drag off a cigarette, you cough?
So secondhand smoke is worse than firsthand smoke.
But you see, this is just good science, people.
Oh, my God.
Just good science.
Bruce, what day did you learn this in medical school?
What?
First
what?
Or second? First or second day.
Right. By the way, he's going to make an awesome attorney, right? Fucking awesome. All right. What else
regardless
we got?
Of whether we agree on whether the extraordinary rise in asthma among kids is related to secondhand smoke, we don't have to get to that.
Of course it isn't. People used to smoke more, for
fine,
Christ's sake.
Let me ask you.
So how do you do that math?
Well, if I could talk for one
half
second.
The country smoked and none of the kids had asthma, so how do you do the math?
The question is this.
Please.
This is what our ordinance is aimed at.
Yes.
Regardless of what caused it, we still have a lot of kids and a lot of folks in society that are hypersensitive to smoke.
Yes.
Don't they have a right to go to public buildings and stand outside?
Well, I'm glad. Of course they do. Of course they do. And that's why, first off, people standing 20 feet away from you smoking doesn't make a difference. It's not going to cause asthma.
You're not a scientist. How do you? What's
hold on. This is their fucking bullshit argument all the time. You're not a scientist. No, I'm a human being. I understand. I've stood 20 feet away from people who smoke. My eyes didn't start watering and start hacking. All right, you're not a scientist. So they rely so heavily on their scientists and then announcing you're not a scientist. All right. How do I know? Okay.
Tell me what
fucking liar. Go ahead.
Tell me what you're evidence.
I have eyeballs and ears. I see what goes on.
Well, I'd rather take the scientist because on public health, it's
people
better
used to
be
smoke
safe.
On airplanes and kids didn't have
Adam,
asthma.
Adam, it's
yes.
better to be safe than sorry.
All
you
right, but
that.
Listen, everybody.
Yeah. So asthma is on the rise, but smoking is on the decline. So he wants to get rid of smoking so we can get rid of asthma. I would argue that if we started smoking more, we could shrink asthma again. I mean, if you're just looking at it like a chart.
Well, it's healthy for the smokers.
In 1950, 2% of the kids had asthma and 50% of the people smoked. Now, 18% of the people smoke and 14% of the kids have asthma. Let's do the math,
right,
Mayor.
It's all secondhand fresh air.
Fucking retard,
if
idiot.
If he could get everyone to be a smoker, he could eliminate secondhand smoke.
That's right. We'll all be healthy.
I'll be firsthand
That's right.
smokers.
All right. We got one more.
By way of symbols in this discussion, I think I've made the point that I stand with the symbols of public health.
I just asked you why more people have asthma now that less people smoke, and you can't answer that. So I don't think you made your point at all.
Emissions. People with smoke are exposed to, well, there's a lot of factors, but secondhand smoke is clearly one of them.
Yeah, no. it's clearly, it's at the bottom of the list.
Why wouldn't we as a society?
Give me a number. How many people die?
Steps.
How many people die each year of secondhand smoke? Give me your number.
I can only tell you that one of the directors of the American Heart Association, who testified before us in the hearings,
yes.
told us this ordinance was going to save thousands and thousands of lives.
Justin Calabasas?
No, because of the Damn secondary goal. I mean, to tell people that they can't smoke outside ultimately will get people to stop smoking cigarettes.
Right.
That's what will save lives,
In all fairness, listen, I don't argue that there is a relationship between the overall habit and the problem.
All right. Well, there he is. Another idiot fucking politician making a nonsensical point. And aren't you glad 2006, now we're living in a utopia now because you can't smoke at a park in Calabasas. This is what these asswipes do all day. And then they have panels and subpanels and experts and arguments and lawyers and the scientists and what? Does that fill the fucking potholes or help the schools? Fucking idiots. All right. Let me tell you this. All right. I'm not done.
Can I ask Bruce a related question?
Yes.
Because obviously secondhand smoke, people don't die of that. No one's getting asphyxiates from secondhand smoke or whatever. Does it cause things that can kill you, or is that too
No, there's no. They haven't found any correlation with anything that I'm aware of. Other than there's still even after studies like this, they pointed out in the article Adam gave me, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they're still calculating secondhand smoke responsible for 46,000 heart disease deaths and 3,400 deaths from cancer. So it's.
That's what they think, or
no? They're still saying that, even though there's really.
Oh.
This is where you say, "Oh, the scientists say it's."
So, because they've already established that number, it's hard to go back and erase
right.
it, kind of.
Well, but Brian, you're perfect because you're the right age to be indoctrinated into what essentially is a lie. It's not a bad lie. It's a lie to stop you from smoking, but it's just a lie. And then you get fed it over and over again, and then you start spouting it out, and now you become a little soldier for
and
the lie.
Intuitively, it does kind of make sense. You're like, oh, secondhand smoke. When people smoke, it smells. It always stays on your clothes. My eyes kind of water. It itches my throat. Yeah, I can see that. That could kill you if you're around that every day.
They had third-hand smoke going a few years ago.
I like that better.
I like that one better, too. All right, so we got that, and
fourth-hand smoke. You passed a 7-Eleven.
Couple other quick stories to share with you. First off, quickly, the Spoils of Babylon. Eric John Rosch's epic novel is now an epic miniseries coming to IFC tonight. That's right, January 9th. 6-part miniseries featuring big names: Kristen Wiig, Tobey Maguire, Will Ferrell. We talked about this. Very funny stuff. Jessica Alba, Val Kilmer, just to name a few. Tonight's premiere includes 2 back-to-back episodes. If you like comedy, if you like to laugh, The Spoils of Babylon. The Spoils of Babylon, IFC, tonight, January 9th, 10 p.m. All right, so somebody else tweeted me out something that was basically law enforcement and petty crimes and blah, blah, blah. It's, L.A. has raised their infraction for jaywalking to $197.
No.
Yes.
It's a $200 ticket?
A $200. Well, I don't know if they charge tax or how it works, but yes. By the way.
Oh, there's a convenience fee.
It ends up being
online.
More, yeah.
Don't give me the $197, cocksuckers. Just charge me $200. Stop pretending like you thought about it.
Right.
If you say $202.
If you say $200, it's as if you're just being arbitrary about it and trying to gouge people. If you say $197, again, it's like if a plumber says $500 to snake the drain out, but if he goes $487.81, It's like, oh, okay. He must know something.
Parts must have cost something.
Football penalty should work the same way.
That's right.
Personal foul, 14 and a third of a yard.
That's right.
You know what doesn't make sense? Somebody did a study. Walking in the crosswalk's actually more dangerous.
But doesn't raise more money. All right. So we're worried about secondhand smoke. We're worried about raising money for jaywalkers. Allison has one that made me want to fucking vomit because I can't stand these stories. It is the newest class of recruits for the L.A. Fire Department. Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, is not happy about the ethnic and gender breakup. Of this. It is, well, it's interesting. You read a couple of the beats there, Allison,
well,
if you have it.
Mayor Garcetti thinks these numbers are unacceptable and wants the fire department to reflect the city it serves. Los Angeles is 29% white, 49% Latino, 11% Asian, and 10% black.
By the way, if Latino is 50% and we're 30%, when do we get to be a minority? Mm. When do they get to be called minority?
And when it comes to life-saving jobs, who cares what, whatever.
Okay,
what
well, let's just lay it out.
Percentages are.
Oh, no, this is upsetting. Go ahead.
So the department, which has 3,200 sworn personnel, has diversified its ranks over the last two decades, the officials say. The last four fire chiefs have been African-American, but the agency...
Oh, hold on. As a white person, I'm outraged. I'm outraged. By the way, the fire chief should always be American Indian, shouldn't he? Hey, chief. How you doing, chief? Good, chief. Any fire, water, chief? You know what I mean?
Don't you want the plural of chiefs to be chiefs?
It should be, like your butler.
The agency is still 50% white, 31% Latino, 12% black, and 7% Asian.
Okay, and is anyone bothered by this? And by the way,
I am outraged and I find it unacceptable.
Do we need more women firefighters?
Women are just 3%.
I have taken the physical test to be a fireman, and I could not pass when I was 26 and in fantastic shape because my hand strength wasn't good enough to do this grip where I have to lift this 50-pound weight on this pulley, and you have to lean over this line, blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is if this place went up in flames and someone had to carry Gary's big ass out of here and the Porcelain Punisher's big ass, I don't know a female who could do that.
Yeah, on the flip side, if someone does come and extinguish your burning house and carry out your children or you or your pets or all of them, are you going to be upset that it's not diverse enough?
Garcetti would be very upset that it does not represent this city.
Well, again, isn't that just politicians saying the politically correct thing?
Yes, but who gives a fuck? Do your work. We don't give a shit.
Bigger fish to fry.
Is there more there, or can I see that thing? Because there's something that was bothering me on that report. I don't know if we highlighted the right. Oh, super small print. Oh, there's second page. Oh,
well, this is just some more stats.
Oh, okay. So
here's the first page.
The first page. Well, maybe that's what I wanted. Read the first page. Let's see if we can get that.
The first new Los Angeles Fire Department recruit class in 5 years is nearly all male and mostly white, despite promises by the agency to diversify its
promises.
Ranks.
What does that shit cost us, by the way? You know what? What's a conversation cost? Just that stupid conversation. We promise to get more women and whatever Eskimos in here. Speaking of diversity in the city, anyone checked out the TSA at LAX? A lot of white folks out there?
Quite diverse, I would say.
Yeah, there's black, and blacker. It's fine. They do a good job, good enough. Are you upset that they're not representing our city? Because you need to see you everywhere?
It'd be nice, but...
It's insane. This is called racism, by the way. You needing one of you everywhere to rescue somebody or to work at TSA or to do whatever. Oh, well, the last four fire chiefs were black, but never mind. Mm. What do you mean, never mind? That seems pretty, it's a pretty good run of black
dudes.
The
manager, the commissioner is like, oh, that
seems pretty good, doesn't it? Considering they're, 13% or whatever of L.A.? Not a bad statistically, a group that's 13% for last four fire chiefs. Not too bad.
You know what's going to upset you more is that this directive from the mayor, they're going to have to hire a very expensive marketing firm to figure out how could do research, how to market it to women. And I say, hey, women, you can be firefighters or get more minorities involved. And not
right.
that, but that it's going to cost so much money to come up with this plan, this
right.
strategic research.
There's a part of the stat that I'm enamored with, though, if you read on, Allison. Sorry.
The class of 70 firefighters, which is scheduled to begin training Monday, has just one woman and is 60% white. 23% of the recruits are Latino, 11% are Asian American, and 6% are African American.
But a couple things. As I've said, are we not allowed to gravitate towards certain professions, certain cultures? Certain cultures are good with hair and nails. Some are good with security. Some are good with fire. Some are good with law enforcement. Some are good with accounting. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of Eastern Indian doctors. Is that okay? Or do we need to fix that? What's going on? Why do we have to fix everything all the time? Here's what I love about the Asians. 11% of the recruits of the new class were Asian, right?
Yes.
Samoans.
Does anyone know what percentage of Los Angeles is Asian?
I'm going to guess right around 11%.
11%. These fucking people never fail when it comes to math. They never fail. They never fail. 11%. It's such a random number. It's 11% and exactly 11%. They hit it on the fucking nail. That's why they're kicking the shit out of us, ladies and gentlemen.
Work that abacus.
Okay. So Garcetti's upset. He's going to look into this. He's going to hire somebody to look into it. It needs to be looked into because – and can I ask you this? How big a deal is the fire department these days anyway? I mean, back in the day, we didn't have codes. We didn't have pneumatic door closers and burn ratings. We had all this old tube and wire. You know, that just you take a look at the wiring of an old house. It's a fucking tinderbox waiting to go up.
This is where you lose me, maybe.
No.
The fire department.
Who in 2014 fires? Fires in high rises, fires on your street, fires in neighboring buildings. How many, as opposed to 50 years ago? I mean, well, you know, 150 years ago, lanterns were falling over. Oh, of course they are. There's codes and the electrical. Just the idea of having an old style fuse box versus a breaker box. There's so much stuff is like electrical code and stuff like that. There's sprinklers that have to be installed if you're building a house up in the hills and so on and so forth. The building code commercially is insane when it comes to this. I mean,
doesn't it feel like there are fire trucks going by all the time, though? And I always wonder when there's like four screaming fire trucks heading by. I have this thought about, you know, are there are they headed to an actual fire? Because you never hear about the fire.
It's somebody having a heart attack, I think. I just want to know, just anecdotally, on your street, friends, people you know, or just turning on the news and saying there's a high rise ablaze in downtown L.A. When's the last time we heard high rise ablaze downtown L.A.? Vegas casino goes up, you know, oh, my neighbor, not my neighbor, but one neighbor over's house burnt to the ground.
No, you hear about
6 months ago.
Forest fires because of the winds, but not any houses getting damaged.
Well, so maybe we don't need so many firemen, but would you rather have a male or female come through the door if you and your kids were trapped in your house? I would go for a male. I would. Now you go, well, what about a female that was equally qualified? That's fine. But in order to get Garcetti's numbers the way he wants them, he's going to have to adjust the test. And the females can't pass the 50-pound hose step test. So we're going to have to bring it to a 30-pound hose step test so we can get more women in here, which doesn't help you when your fucking house is on fire. No. All right.
The strongest possible person who will probably be a male.
Right. Whoa, who evidently is, because that's what it is. Yeah. They are aggressively trying to attract women, blacks, and Latinos. It seems like white guys like fighting fires. Are we okay with that?
Okay. Yeah, whoever wants to do it, come on down.
Come on down.
Take the test.
That's my point. All right. Play the now, this is all, by the way, somebody tweeted me this today, and it's just a nice capper to what I've been complaining about. This is the LA Times, who leans a little toward the left, but you can hear what they're a little assessment of LA on the decline, and I'll just give you a little listen.
A new report released today says LA suffers from a crisis of leadership and direction, among other problems. The Los Angeles 2020 Commission, a 13-member citizen panel convened by City Council President Herb Wesson, reports that the city is also weighed down by problems such as traffic and poverty. The Times reports that the panel, chaired by former Commerce Secretary Mickey Cantor, said LA lacks a coherent approach to economic development and trails other major cities in job growth. The report is titled A Time for Truth. It notes that city government spending is growing faster than revenue and that the pension benefits of city employees are at risk. Additionally, the report cautions that the Los Angeles Unified School District is, quote, failing our children, and that the city is underinvesting in the harbor and airport and the Department of Water and Power. Mayor Eric Garcetti said he welcomed the commission's ideas. Later this year, the panel is expected to offer proposed solutions to the problems it sees. For more, visit LATimes.com and...
All right.
Tough love.
We couldn't trim it.
Okay. Oh, then you can stop it. The point is this. All right. So secondhand smoke and jaywalkers and the fire department not having enough ethnic balance for you, enough diversity. Maybe we can get to that stuff when we're done with the harbor and we're done with the airport and we're done with the schools and we're done with the lack of jobs and the poverty and the freeway and the congestion. Shall we do that? Or do you just want to be outraged by what's going on in the fire department? Are all these politicians just insane bullshit artists, or what are they doing? I mean, I know Gavin Newsom sat here and said he liked to work small to big. Maybe this is what we're talking about. Maybe when we get this diversity thing sorted out in the fire department, then we can move on to the school system. Yes? But once again, the Asians... fucking nailing it at 11%. There's probably one Asian recruit, maybe Bong Lo Su, was going to graduate, and another Asian guy like grabbed his arm and went, "You got to take one for the fucking team." Why? Because if you walk across there and throw that fucking hat up in the air, you're going to put us at 14%. That's going to fuck the curve off.
That's been my dream to be a firefighter.
You don't understand.
I was a young rooster.
We're perfect mathematically.
All right, fair enough. But I'm not happy about it.
Get to the salon with your mom and push those cuticles. All right. Dr. Spaz?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What do you got? Does he have an intro?
What's going on? Where's my... I'm waiting to be... Okay. So this...
Do you have something that leads you into this stuff?
Of course. My song. Where's my song? Where's my...
Oh, yeah. He does have a song.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Just start your story.
All right.
How did you forget
he likes
that?
To surprise him with it.
Yeah.
You know what?
Forget it.
Yeah.
Here's one from... He works ER to keep his Honda full of gas.
Sorry.
With jail in his hair, he's not too bad. He's got good lenses, but real bad frames.
But no gel.
Some call him Bruce.
This could be a tough sledding.
We call him another anecdote. As I'm calling patients from the waiting room at the hospital I work at, some guy, it's crowded Saturday night, somebody, "Hey, Dr. Spaz from the Corolla Show. I mean Dr. Bruce." That's funny. Okay.
I'll tell you what's not funny. Hulu Plus, baby. Or maybe it is funny. Depends if we're watching a comedy or drama.
Can be very funny.
Funny the way you want it to be.
That's right. Mm. You tried Hulu.com. Now it's time for Hulu Plus, baby. Time for you to step it up, 2014. Watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Thousands of hit TV shows and a couple of stinkers, let's be honest. But maybe you're into that thing. Yeah. I like to watch an occasional episode of Family Ties or what have you. Oh, sorry. You know what I'm saying. I couldn't think of a real bad show. $7.99 a month. You got current shows like our old friend Jimmy Kimmel and SNL and Shark Tank. Love me some of that. And Scandal and all that. They got exclusive originals like The Wrong Mans and Behind the Mask and all sorts of cool stuff. Also, Hulu Plus, they got a special offer. And it's just for my listeners. You can try it for 2 weeks free. 2 weeks free. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Adam for extended free trial. Let him know we sent you. That's HuluPlus.com/Adam. Dr. Spaz.
How come your advertisements cut into my segment? It disturbs the continuity of my thought.
Yeah, I know. You're such a flow.
Yeah. So here's one from your wife. A study, January 2014 issue. It's a pulmonary journal. Smoking disrupts the circadian clock function in both the lungs and brain. Translation, smoking ruins productive sleep, leading to cognitive dysfunction, mood disorders, depression, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know you have a habit of a nightly maybe puff or two,
mm-hmm.
and it's short or long-term smoking,
mm-hmm.
and I know you have a sleep problem too.
So. No, I don't have a sleep problem. Okay. I've been sleeping good. Sleeping like a champ.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not going to quit because I'm not going to start. Smoke a cigarette a night, and then I go to bed.
I'm more on Lynette's side on this one.
I know
secondhand
you're always
smoke.
On.
No, I'm not.
You're
I'm
always
objective.
On Lynette's side. Okay, no, that's true. You can be objective. You can be objective.
This isn't a medical thing, but I just had to bring it up. They're getting rid of the iconic horse-drawn carriages in New York. One of the first things de Blasio, the new mayor, instituted was no more horse-drawn carriages.
Did you say new mayor? Or new mayor? New mayor. No more horse in Central Park?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they consider it, ASPCA got involved. They said it was cruelty to animals. So Liam Neeson was on Jon Stewart's show.
Liam?
Yeah, and he's like horse oriented. So he was, and Jon Stewart was trying to defend
Well, wait a minute. Can I just say, wasn't I just yapping about this? Like, first order of business, get rid of
the horse poop. Mm. The dog poop via the horse poop catcher. Wasn't that it?
No, he's.
What?
No,
that's what you were talking
that's
about.
That's what I was talking about. But what I'm saying is first order of business for the new mayors to get rid of the rides around Central Park.
Well, everything else is perfect.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's and it turns out one of his supporters.
But what I'm trying to say, stunned audiences, isn't this what I was just talking about? This notion of working on nothing,
right.
Instead of
an example.
Working.
Of course, that's why I brought it up. It's an example of your.
No, it's not. But go ahead.
Well, no, that's basically, and it turns out one of the promoters is a supporter of the new mayor, who's also in real estate. I mean, it's just the usual politics as usual.
But what was the Liam Neeson thing?
Well, he was on Jon Stewart, and Jon Stewart was defending, he was saying, well, horses like to run free, and Liam Neeson's a horse person. He's going, listen, I've been to the stables. These are well-treated, well-fed horses, and there's no cruelty to animals involved here. It's more of, again, a political motivation. But this is, being from New York, this is sort of an iconic thing, the horse-drawn carriages. And give me a break. This is something that deserves the mayor's attention.
It's been in
hundreds of people losing jobs.
50 movies, at least. It sort of says it sort of suggests romance, going on the carriage ride through.
Oh, they're
going
to get
Park.
Green cars, green vehicles made especially to replace these to drive people around. That's an apt.
But again, if somebody said to somebody 50 years ago, let's talk about problems to get rid of in the future. Do you think horse-drawn carriage around Central Park would it fall on anyone's list?
There's not enough of them?
Yes, that's exactly what you'd say. It just doesn't even seem like there's – I don't even know what that is. And then figure it out 50 years ago. Just go back 8 years. Like, what the fuck is everyone doing? Yeah. Smoking at a park, a horse going around a park. What the fuck are we talking about?
Well, why doesn't de Blasio get rid of all the McDonald's? I mean, there's cruel. They're killing all these cows for hamburgers and put a Sprouts in for every McDonald's in Manhattan.
Yes.
Something like that.
What the fuck are we doing? What's the government? I don't want to sound like some sort of Chuck Heston here, but we want them to keep going? Is this the idea? Just keep going? Just keep going? Keep growing? Keep doing what you're doing? How about you fucking rein it in a little bit? And I'm not saying secondhand smoke is good for people, and I'm not saying horseshit is good for people. I'm just saying we like it. It's part of our life. This way a chili burger is. And we can determine on our own how much we want to go to the park, how much we want to go on horse rides, how many chili burgers we want to eat. We that's the great thing about this country. The opposite of that is parts of China.
Yeah, being told what to
what to do and what not to do. Yes. All right.
This is an interesting study looking at clenching your left hand or holding an object in your left hand and squeezing it when you're doing skilled athletic activities. And
your left hand.
Right. They found that
you say left hand, assuming people are right-handed, or it doesn't matter?
Oh, it matters. I was going to bring that up at the end. It doesn't. Uh-huh. They haven't done the study with left-handed people are a little bit off.
Uh-huh. So squeezing squeezing it with your bad hand.
No. They've done it. Okay. What their theory is that rumination, when you're focusing on what you're supposed to do, many automated behaviors for skilled athletes are they're automated. So ruminating about it and thinking about it just disturbs the whatever the function is, whatever the activity is. So
hold
they
on,
found that the hold rumination.
On, hold on. Hold on. All right. You want to get a function like skiing?
Yeah, they used soccer judo, were the studies that were done.
Okay.
Bruce brings in 10,000 like, stories a week, and this is the one he goes with.
No, it's very interesting.
He gets in judo. I could potentially be interested in this if I could understand it.
Balance is something that...
Stop. You shouldn't be thinking about doing soccer when you're doing soccer.
Right.
You should be thinking about squeezing a hand.
If you free you up to just use muscle memory.
In right-handed people, the rumination part, this non-productive thinking is in the left hemisphere. The right hemisphere is associated with performance.
Right, but just so we know, putting the thing in your left hand is for the right-handers.
Right.
Okay, that's why they haven't. I understood.
Did they find that it improved the way that they?
They felt
did
doing
whatever?
This it activates the right hemisphere and improves performance, and it was statistically significant, more statistically significant than secondhand smoke, God knows. Mm-hmm. So there's, so that's basically something that now there's more complexity in left-handed individuals, which are about 10% of the population. So you can't extrapolate to that. They haven't done a study with them, but it's sort of interesting. And then another journal looked at clenching the right fist. It turns out that memory is augmented by certain similar movements. But anyway.
Clenching my butthole. What does that do?
Okay. So here's one for Mangria. I'd like to support the pirate ship. Inverse association between alcohol consumption and multiple sclerosis. So they found that people that drink socially have a lower incidence of multiple sclerosis. And they're also now – it used to be suggested if you have MS, don't drink any alcohol. Now they're sort of saying, well, in moderation, it's probably okay. So,
First off, they said that about pregnancy recently, which I always knew, which is a glass of red wine is not going to fucking kill your fetus. Everything is based on – most science is based on – don't do this. So we're coming back to it. Secondhand smoke's a firsthand killer. It's not, but it's saying don't smoke. A glass of wine is going to turn your baby into a retard. It's not, but a bottle will. And we don't want you to drink the bottle, so we're going to tell you not to drink the glass. But what I would ask from any adult speaking to another adult is to treat them like adults and just simply give them the information. Then they could decide whether they wanted to stand next to someone who was smoking or drink a glass of red wine when they were pregnant. But you saying that AIDS is an equal opportunity killer, whether you're heterosexual or gay, that's not actually the truth statistically. So what I would like is you to provide me the statistics. You give me the stats, and then I'll decide whether to wear a condom or not based on the stats.
I've actually run into this with doctors before, which is where they're going to do – like, you want the information to then make an informed choice, but they're just going to do the thinking for you. Like,
yes.
This is the course of action, and you're like, I would like to know what are the chances of what we're even talking about.
Yeah, it's basically right up there with when you go in there and you go, I work on a loading dock, and I fucked my back up picking up boxes, and they go, well, no more of that. And it's like, well, that's my job. So no more of that's not going to work. There's a way to do it, but no more of that. Like, well, no more drinking. Well, no, maybe you want a glass of red wine. You
right.
So explain it to them.
So there are two aspects. People that already have MS, they're saying it's okay to drink, but your risk of getting it in the first place is decreased if you drink socially. So that's sort of interesting. So it actually has a beneficial.
All right, Spaz, bring it home.
Bring it home. Okay.
No, I meant you're home. I mean, go home.
Having Medicaid leads to 40% more ER visits. There
what?
You go.
What? You mean if something's free, people
abuse
it? Just
wait. Obamacare, here we come.
Wow, how dare you.
Yep, the ER is going to be even more of a...
Listen, when you... Look, whether it's fucking calling the cops on your neighbors or going in for emergency care, as long as it's free, you use the shit out of it. When it's not free, when it's coming out of your pocket, you tend to be a little more discerning. That's all. And the people who go, well, if you charge someone $100 if they call the cops over something that was considered nothing, then when someone is being violently stabbed, they won't call the cops. Untrue. Completely untrue. And if you charge them for the ER visit, then they wouldn't go if a piece of rebar was sticking out of their ribs. Untrue again.
Have you heard this one? Therapists are like, well, if you don't pay for therapy, then it doesn't work. It would never work or something. But I, because I was, when you said if it's free, you'll abuse it, I was thinking they should make therapy free because a lot of people could abuse it.
I would, yeah. I would happily like my tax dollars to go toward that rather than many other things. All right, Dr. Spaz. Got a couple of phone calls. Our guest is here. What the hell else we got? Well, let me try it. Let me just punch up some. I don't know. I'm going to ask because I don't know the answer to this. Dave, 26, Sunnyvale, California.
Baseman. Hey, Strakola.
What's going on?
I wanted to send you a Bitcoin donation and curious if you'd accept it.
Sure, but I don't know how that works.
So it's sort of a new internet money. It's kind of like digital cash.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's pretty easy to accept. There's no transaction fees. I don't know what you're paying for the PayPal subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever someone sent you in Bitcoin, you would get 100% of it.
Well,
didn't China just announce they're not going to accept Bitcoin?
China did?
Yeah, China. China's out of the game.
All right. So my plans for us to pick up the podcast, move to China, have been dashed?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Nice try, Dave. So Sunnyvale.
China announced that Chinese banks couldn't hold it and that exchanges are having some difficulty operating in it, but citizens are still free to use
all
it
right.
Okay. In China.
I will accept bitcoins and really anything you send.
Sure.
Here.
If it's edible.
It'll be consumed. Right.
Like now, Bitcoin cake.
We like things sealed, but if they just come loose in foil, there will be a 18-minute cool down period
where
folks around
here
hover around it until our canary in the coal mine, who's actually not as large as an actual canary, Chris Maxpata, comes in and eats one, announces it's delectable, and then we all dig in.
Yep.
That's how it works, including Dr. Drew. Christine, 34, from Davis, California.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I really love Allison and Brian.
Not me.
Yeah.
And you. Sorry, I'm nervous. I've been listening for such a long time, and I've never called before. But
it was very tall.
Thank you so much. My mom's name is Christine, but I'm still cool with you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question was, so I'm really sick right now. I have the flu, and I never get sick. And I know you never get sick, so I was wondering when the last time you were actually sick.
I do believe Dr. Bruce can probably chime in. Last time I felt like I was really, really sick was over a decade ago.
No. I get the calls from Lynette when anybody – why doesn't Drew get these calls? I have to deal with all the – you had diarrhea and nausea or something or other going on. That was within the last, I think, year because I think I prescribed some Zofran for you. You were not. You came back from a trip, and you were feeling crap.
Well,
this is in the last year.
Let me put it to you this way. When is the last time I missed a day of anything? Because
God forbid I implied that. No,
well,
no,
no. We need a Mason-Dixon line of sick. I felt off for 12 hours,
right,
but I was fine immediately after that and went to work and did whatever it is. I probably skipped
and your
rope
muscle
that
tear
night.
Doesn't count. That weird lump
muscle
in your thigh. That
yes, a tore thing.
The knee.
My
in
knee.
In 2007, you missed a couple of days of work because you were sick during the ACE Awards. Bonaducci had to take over, but that was pretty bad.
That was a blue flu, which is Danny Blue, so I stayed home. no, that's I didn't want to work with Bonaducci anymore, so I just stayed home.
I knew it!
What happened was, it was probably about 2003. It was the first year Jimmy Kimmel Live. I do. He's been on for about a decade now.
'03.
And I remember it very well because there's two things that stand out. I'm not one of these guys that has my wife, you know, go make me breakfast, go make me this, go make me that. I'm always like, I'm fine. I got it. I'm fine. But in this particular instance, I couldn't get out of bed. I was so nauseated. And, you know, that feeling of sort of hyper-nauseated, like where you stand up, the room starts spinning. And where you know when you lay alone and groan, you just bellow like, oh, and you're throwing up and you're dry heaving
like
and blah, blah,
hangover.
Blah, blah, blah. It's just fucking brutal. And Lynette was going to Vegas with the girls. And it was the one time in a decade when I really would have said, go down, get me a get me, go downstairs and get me a bowl of soup and bring it back up because I can't physically make it up or down the stairs. And it was like a Friday, and she said, you know, she probably said I could stay, but, you know, and I went, nah, go.
I mean, I could stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while.
You don't, like, want me to stay or something, right?
Right. It was kind of one of those. And I went, like, nah, I'll be, and she left, and I just lay in bed, and I couldn't, I was, you know, crawling to the toilet to throw up, and I couldn't get up and down the stairs. I was just sort of trapped for food and stuff like that. And it was horrific. And it led, you know, it was like a sort of over the weekend and then into Monday. And I missed work on Monday at Jimmy Kimmel Live. And then when I showed up on Tuesday, I got this office asshole who needs to be dragged behind a fucking pickup truck somewhere in Texas on a fucking road that's not paved, which is I did the yeah, man, I was, oh, boy, was I shot over the weekend and I missed yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, it's going around. I had it too. I came in though. Yeah, no, not what I had though. You didn't have right. What I had. No, I had it. Believe me, I had it. I came in, but I'm better than you. But we both had the same thing, but I showed up yesterday and you didn't show up, but it's going around.
Dick.
It's all had. Yeah, I felt like hell, but I came in anyway and I'm like, you didn't have this because I wasn't capable of moving getting.
That was me.
I couldn't get down the stairs.
I know. That was me. Same,
I would have had to been medevaced in with a fucking IV.
Same. I actually was.
That
so
guy.
I got to work.
What a fucking kill that guy. That was a decade ago, and that was my last. I said on this show, I think yesterday, I never know corner men, cut men, or boxing guys that ever get sick.
Why is that?
Think what about what they're exposed to. They would literally empty buckets of spit. Like they're funnels with garden hose going down into a bucket, and it was their job to take them and empty them.
Mm.
And the fucking bulletproof.
And you don't get a flu shot, do you?
Fuck no. That's for pussies. All right. Dr. Spaz, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Squarespace, baby. All in one platform makes it fast and easy for you to create your own professional website. Beautiful designs and style options to create a unique website for your business. Easy to use. You want a little help? They can help you. They can support you. They got a team, man, 24/7. That's right. That's almost, oh no, that's everything. That's right. You can start at just $8 a month. That includes a free domain name. And if you sign up for a year. So you get your free trial, no credit card required. Start building your website today. You need it. If you got a little business, you need it. Even if you don't have a business, you need it. Use the offer code Corolla1. That's Corolla and the number one for 10% off your first purchase and show you support the show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All right, Dr. Spaz, you can Twitter him at Dr. Bruce H. We'll take a quick break. Back with Rob Delaney next. Hey, Kitty's Ace Man, coming to see you live, doing the live podcast. Two shows, Chicago, Park West, coming up January 31st. Buffalo, University of Buffalo, Saturday the 1st. Las Vegas, Treasure Island, Friday, February 21st with the great Joe Coy. And if you want to see me do stand-up, Detroit, Motor City Casino, Thursday, January 30th, 8 p.m. Go to AdamCarolla.com. You can find out all the times and dates, and we'll see you soon.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Leavenworth, Kansas. A 26-year-old man was sentenced to 54 months in jail after making threats against another man when the two had a dispute about the ownership of a pet tarantula. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, back with Rob Delaney. The book, Rob Delaney, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage. Available on Amazon, and you know what to do. Go to AdamCarolla.com and click through the banner. And by the way, you can pre-order Bald Brian's book.
Shrinkage.
And my book, President Me, while you're picking up Rob's book. Good to see you, Rob.
Thanks for having me. And I just, your third book, that's amazing. And I was on Kevin, it's your third book, right?
Yes, yes.
I was on Kevin and Bean this morning, and they were saying that it's going to be 90,000 words or so.
Yes.
And
well, 80 right now. Yes, 84,000 words.
That's
right,
amazing.
84,000, that's adorable.
I only say that because they asked me how long mine was, and I happened to know that it was 70,000 words. And when I heard that you were round a 90, I said, that is impressive.
What is, Ball Brian, what do you have?
I have a book that's coming out, too, in April, and it's the final I turned in was like 116,000.
Good Lord.
It's a memoir about cancer, though, so I had a lot to write about.
Fun.
Yeah, good time. Well, yeah, it's a fucking
laughing. There's a market
minute
for that. It's a popular
I hope so.
It's a popular subset of diseases.
That's right.
Rob has, was the first to receive funniest person on Twitter 2012.
Yeah.
They can never take that away from you.
Well, you know why they might not be able to is they had those awards in 2012, and they just didn't have them again. It was on Comedy Central. They had the Comedy Central Award, Comedy Awards, and they didn't have them last year.
Is that good or bad?
I think
that they didn't have them again.
I mean, I suppose it's good for me in that now I perhaps have that title forever. But yeah, I don't know. It must be bad for them, right? You would imagine they would want to do that annually? Or an award?
I don't know. Yesterday I said to Matt, the one of the many Matts who works around here, who I do my CarCast show with, are they doing the Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix celebrity race this year? And we kind of looked it up, and he said, no, they always hit me by now, and they reach out to me, and they got to start practicing, and the race is in April, and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, I think that's it. After 37 years, no can do. And
wow.
I won the last two.
Sweet.
And that's it.
Wow.
And I was happy. I was like, that'll be it. You'll just get to 2013.
Well done.
You'll see my name at the end, and then that'll be that.
They're like, yeah, nobody could do better.
It's like they saw two wins by the Ace Man, and they threw in the towel. Cried mercy. And they'll do the same thing with Rob at the Twitter Awards.
Here's hoping.
Oh, our grandkids are going to be so fucking proud.
Did they give you a trophy or a plaque?
Yeah, the award, it's incredibly heavy. I have two little kids, and I should put it on the ground level somewhere because it could kill one of them. It's very heavy, and it's on a mantle. Yeah, it's like an old Larry King microphone type thing.
How did well, let's put it – I'll ask you this, and I'll sort of comment and ask as I say. But, like, how did you figure out that this was a good format for you? Like, for me, I'm super windy, tell stories, and go on and on and on. So the 140 characters, not fantastic for me. Plus, I can't spell.
For me, what happened was I joined in the beginning of 2009, which is when a lot of people kind of even were hearing about it. And at the time, I was submitting late night joke packets to late night shows and trying to get hired and not getting hired. And I was headlining stand up around the country, but it was the sort of gigs where you pay like $700 for, you know, you get paid $700 to do a weekend, but your plane ticket costs $615. Like that,
right.
That's the type of career I had. And so I couldn't get hired anywhere. And I thought, I guess I'll just give it away for free and at least demonstrate to people that I have like a work ethic, you know? And so at first, I don't think I was very good at it, but nobody knew who I was, so nobody cared. And then I gradually got better because my stand up is definitely not one linery at all. It's longer and meandering stories and stuff like that. So I was sort of – it took a while, but I got to do it pretty much in solitude because nobody cared for the first year or so.
I'm going to pay you a sort of a compliment.
Okay.
Right about now. You look – I've been studying your physicality.
Ooh, I feel like I know where you're going to go.
I have you as Ben Affleck. It would be nice if we find a picture of him with a beard. And the same with the second one as well. You take your time, Gary. Meets Randall Tex Cobb with a beard.
Okay.
Took a turn there for a minute.
It took a turn, but you know what? You're with me. Possibly meets the brawny man. But either way, I got you at Ben Affleck meets Randall Tex Cobb. If we find the right, and don't rush it, Gary. If we find the right picture of Ben Affleck and Randall Tex Cobb, I think we might have something.
I thought you were going to throw in a ham.
There is a lot of ham there. There's some ham on that bump.
People will say, I did a thing for Funny or Die where we parodied Mad Men, and it was set in Boston, and people would say, like, you kind of do look like a fatter John Hamm, just a little extra.
You're talking to the guy whose partner, Jimmy Kimmel, refers to me as Pete Sampras, With Down syndrome. It's like, do you have to add the Down syndrome? Or do you just, couldn't I just look like Pete Sampras?
That's excellent.
I wouldn't be accurate.
Yeah.
Adam's description was like the Facebook stock. I started off great, took a big dip, and then kind of righted the ship a little bit.
You know, Randall Tex Scott looks like.
The thing is, I only see him with a mustache, but a cleaned up young Randall.
You know what, though? When you want to tell somebody that they look somebody, you usually do have to triangulate. You have to do like the Ben Affleck minus the whatever.
Right.
But one person who I do look astonishingly like is Mike Lowell, the third baseman for the Red Sox.
And teams.
And people would say to me when I was younger, they'd say, you know, you kind of look like him. And I looked him up thinking, oh, I'm not going to think I look like him. And it was like looking in a mirror. And also, I've sung the national anthem for the Red Sox a few times. And in 2007, I think, I was going to do it. And I said to them, hey, guys, I got an idea. This was like the fifth time I was doing it. How about I dress up in one of Mike Lowell's uniforms, and then I start the anthem, and then he comes out and chases me off with a baseball bat, and he's like, that's an imposter. Right. And they said, or you could just sing it respectfully, you stupid asshole, and never have another idea again.
Did you really? You can find me Randall Tex Cobb with no beard if it's too much trouble to find him with a beard. I can't remember if in, Raising Arizona, if he had a beard or it was always just a mustache with Randall Tex Cobb. And, by the way, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective as well would have been a good Randall
Tex Cobb. How did you find yourself in the
five
position
times?
Where you were, singing the national anthem?
Because I had a friend. I actually thought that I would do theater, and that's what I went to college for, and I sang and all that stuff, and then I found comedy, so I said that's the only thing I want to do. But I had a friend who worked for the Red Sox, and there's 180 games a year, you know, you can't get Josh Groban or Michael Bublé for everyone. Sometimes you have to get just some schmuck.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, presenting the national anthem, Randall Tex Affleck.
But yeah, that was fun. I almost blacked out the first time I did it. I was so nervous.
You were like hyperventilating.
Oh my god! Yeah, like vision. I went like to just a little.
It's a nice gig, and that people will always start applauding before you finish, and it's always unclear whether it's for you or for the beginning of the event that they're there for.
Yeah, so you sort of piggyback like grandfathered applause, and you can assume that.
But you have to have some chops to do that.
Yeah, it's a hard song to sing. You know, you have to start in the exact right key, or you're screwed because it spans octave wise so much. So it's a hard one, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now you've gotten the John Hamm,
yeah,
and you've gotten the Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
But you never gotten the Randall Tex Cobb.
No, I haven't. No, that's a fine
because everyone's familiar with the beat up, you know, acting Randall Tex, disheveled Randall Tex Cobb. He's a cleaned up, younger, unpunched.
Uh-huh. Yes, you're not going to find. Gary, you're not going to find.
I've
pictures
got one
of,
with a beard, but if we keep adding in stuff like younger and
no. All right, let's see.
Forget about that.
Let's see Randall Tex Cobb.
We're still putting it together. You want to just see just that one?
No. We'll let you put it together. How old is Randall Tex Cobb in that? Randall Tex.
He appears to be in his mid-30s.
Okay. Randall Tex Cobb was, do you know who Randall Tex Cobb is? He was the guy that got Howard Cosell out of boxing. He said no more. After what Larry Holmes did to him for 15 rounds, he sat there ringside and said, you got to stop this. You got to stop it. And then they wouldn't stop it, and Randall Tex Cobb would not go down, and they let the fight go, and he just ate a lot of leather, as they say. I know it's lesbian terminology as well, but this is a boxing thing. And she's eating a lot of leather out
munching
there.
Munching that leather.
I get it.
Going
my dad.
To town.
So Howard Cosell said no more. No more lesbians. I'm getting a little confused with my own story now. But you know what I'm saying.
My dad is a carpenter, and he was working with a lesbian recently, and he didn't know that she was a lesbian.
Just say female carpenter.
And he was saying something to her, and she said to my dad, she goes, Bob, I'm a rug muncher. That's how she outed herself. And my dad goes, oh, well, me too. And that was how they bonded on some roof in Massachusetts.
Progressive.
I would hope my dad wouldn't even know what the term rug muncher means.
Yeah.
Smash cut to them drinking a couple cold ones in the back of her brat.
Yep.
Sitting in those jump seats. Oh, yeah. Simpler times. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football. Oh, it is far from over, everybody. My listeners still winning serious do-re-mi at DraftKings.com. A few weeks ago, someone won $1 million at DraftKings.com. Brian? still hanging?
I just realized what's going to be a unique challenge for me now that there's only eight teams left in the playoffs. Not picking a whole bunch of 49ers, you know, picking with my heart, picking with my head, picking my, I do my research, although I do think they'll do well, but I got to, you know, do my research.
Sure. Well, Vernon Davis, so come on.
He's going to have a good game.
DraftKings, baby. Still fun to watch football and play a little fantasy ball with DraftKings.com. 1 week fantasy football, so every round of playoffs, brand new shot to score your share of $200 million at DraftKings.com. Dawson.
DraftKings is letting Adam Carolla listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
Yeah, they got a hammy there. I need Randy. See if we can find. That's good, Randy. Yeah, that's maybe that's pretty good, Randy Tex Cobb there with a beard.
Spot on.
I'm still going. If we took Randy and mixed him with Ben, I think we'd have Rob.
Yeah, I think you're right because I get some of that puffiness under the eyes that Tex does so well.
You've eaten a little leather with your dad. No big deal. there's old Randy Tex from Ace Ventura, I do believe. All righty, can I tell you I got bitten by my own snake today.
What happened? In his terrarium or aquarium? I can never tell the difference.
I was driving home from the shop today, and I was talking to the Stone Pelican, Mike August, the booker, and I got a call from James Baby Doll Dixon, agent. And I said, "Oh, Mike, that's Baby Doll. I got to call you back." And I hung up with Mike, even though I'd called Mike. But then I said, "I got to get off the phone because I got someone more important on the other line." Mm-hmm. A little bit different, I think, than them calling you and then you telling them I got to get off the line. I called him in 80 seconds after I called him, and maybe it was 30 seconds. I said, "Oh, that's Baby Doll. I got to get off the phone." So he got bumped. So I hung up with him. Then Baby Doll was on the other line, and I talked to Baby Doll for 35 seconds, and he said, "Hold on." And then he said, "That's Les Moonves. I gotta go." And he hung up with me, and then I called back Mike August, and I said, "I'm sorry. I know what that feels like. I just felt it. I just felt what you just felt."
I hope then he got bumped when someone called Les Moonves.
That
Who would it be, though?
That would be nice, yeah.
Who would have to call?
I don't know. Maybe Hammy. Maybe
versus
Randall Tex Cobb
versus the late night agent. I don't know. There's too many people that are going to bump off the phone. Heavy.
I like to think so, but I called Mike back immediately and said, "Well, who's zooming who?" Didn't get the reference. All right, should we do some news?
Yes.
Let's do it.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison.
Need to share a personal story. Now, I don't know if you guys are going to be with me on this one, but Gary and I have bonded, and a lot of people on Twitter as well, over the joy of discovering a scab on your head and then picking at it.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the joy, Brian, is pulling it through your hair.
Not hard to find for me.
Yeah, no, it's a hair thing. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Anyway,
what's better, zit in the ear that you hear pop?
That's pretty good.
That's fucking good.
Yeah.
That is, there's not many things in life that are more satisfying than hearing your zit pop.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well.
But I do like the scab pulling through the hair.
I mean, it was.
As a guy, you can do that with your legs.
True.
It's been many years since I've done it, but
there is. Or one of your dad's coworkers.
There's a scab over here that I was like going to town on, and then all of a sudden.
On your neck.
Yeah. But in the hair, in my hairline. All of a sudden I remembered. Oh, wait a minute. I burned myself with my straightening iron, and that's what I'm picking at? And that, to me, completely ruins it, and now I want to throw up. Because for me, it's the found scab.
Mm.
It can't be something composed you created.
With this curling iron.
No, that's gross.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I would be curious if I found a scab under my hair, like, hey, how'd that get there? Knowing the genesis.
I think it's an ear zit that's just on your head.
Okay. Mm.
It sounds boring as hell, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. Okay. So it is the third anniversary of Gabrielle Giffords' shooting.
Or no, really?
Yeah. And to mark the anniversary.
Is she the Arizona one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was at the Safeway or something. Or
Jared Loughner, 6 were killed, 13 were injured. She went skydiving.
Wow.
To mark the anniversary.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever do that, whether you'd been shot at or not?
Dick Cheney shot her when she was coming down, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He peppered her.
Yeah. Well, she knows better than skydive over the Mark Bland.
She wasn't wearing an orange hat. maybe she was.
Listen, ever since Bush number one, Bush senior, did his 91st birthday skydiving thing or 90th or something. But it's a kind of thing where we've talked about this. You're essentially a human fanny pack. You're strapped on to someone who knows what they're doing and they jump out of an airplane. You're just
along for the ride.
Yeah. And by the way, if that chute doesn't open, guess who's getting a nice cock buried through them? And that's the way they're going to find you. Or they'll probably just leave you there. The tandem thing feels like to me like you're just so much fucking backpack on this journey through life, which I don't feel like really is skydiving. Let's put it this way. You could be fucking shit-faced drunk and still pull this one off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Strapping yourself to a guy who has 5,000 jumps out of an airplane and just fucking going over being pushed out of the back of that thing with him. It's like life-affirming or whatever. It feels a little photo op-y. I hate to shit on people that have overcome as much as they've overcome and all that kind of stuff. And, whatever floats your boat is fine. But I feel like, just getting drunk and masturbating is the way I would celebrate.
That's a good
quietly
one
with dignity.
I feel like I might not skydive like right now because I have a couple of kids. I don't do stuff that's pure dare, like exclusively dare. I'll do dangerous things if there's other benefits. But if I got shot in the head, maybe I would because I'd be like, I'm playing with extra innings. What the hell? I'll do some skydiving.
You don't think you'd be like, I narrowly escape death. I'm never going to leave this chair.
I work that way anyway, even though I didn't cheat death. Listen, God bless her and her astronaut husband, who, by the way, that guy seems like the world's greatest husband, but if he has a stepdaughter, she's going to have an eating disorder. That dude is a fucking astronaut.
I'm sure he undermined her skydiving, like, how high up were you? I'm an astronaut.
Really? Yeah. I've been in the stratosphere, sweetie.
Oh, the substratosphere, huh? Well, it's not too bad.
But the air
seemed thin up there? Okay.
He's probably one of these dads who like drives around with the stepdaughter, and she goes, oh, Dad, I'm going to get some gas. Fuel! We call it fuel.
You're going to fuel up?
Okay, whatever. Like, it's just like never.
None of those guys have less than like 5 doctorates. Yeah,
right.
They're crazy.
Yes. Yes, but I can see them being a little bit like I hung out with Buzz Aldrin for a while, and he's the most intense motherfucking guy on the planet.
When did you hang out with Buzz Aldrin?
None of your when we were doing I don't know. Have I brought up the Toyota Grand Prix before on the show?
The race,
the thing with
the celebrity race.
You did well in the race, right? You came in
2 years in a row.
Oh,
it
escapes me. But I just want to know, should I set it up or if
it
I brought
familiar,
it up?
I don't know where else would have heard it, so it must have been here.
Well, just to play it safe.
Oh, yeah. Mention it for the new listeners.
Okay.
The ones who are just tuning in.
Yeah, okay. Like in the last 4 minutes. I think the first or second time I did it 4 times. The first or second time I did it with Buzz Aldrin. And he was a nice guy. He couldn't drive worth a shit. He wrecked like 5 cars. He was the most serious dude I've ever met. And when I was kind of busting his chops about blowing up engines and transmissions and wrecking cars and stuff, he didn't have a sense of humor about it at all. And told me at a certain point he was heading to like Phoenix to go to some sort of reunion for F-80 pilots or something, and said best airplane ever built. Like, it was like really super intense about it. It was basically the first jet fighter we had in Korea. And he was very intense about stuff. But again, he's an astronaut. Yeah. So he's probably not going to go, hey, you want to rip a bong load behind the trailer?
I wonder if astronauts can have a sense of humor. They're really, they're the architect writ large.
Yeah.
In movies, they're always good-looking cowboys. Yeah. But in real life,
fly by the seat of your pants, risk takers.
Well, here's what astronauts. I mean, at least used to be. First, you take, you take the Air Force, let's say. And now within the Air Force, there's the guys who do navigating and the guys who do the bomb ordnance stuff and the guys who are co-pilots who fly their tanker planes and shit and prop planes. Like, okay, they're all off the list. Then you go fighter jocks. These are the guys that are out there carving it up in battle. And then you go the top 1% of the fighter jocks, the aces. That's how fucking intense these guys are, the tail hookers, the guys who land on the carriers.
Mix in back in the Right Stuff days, there were test pilots, and that was
right.
Thought of back then as almost certain death.
Yeah.
A lot of, guys burned up.
And then add to that, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Buzz Aldrin has had plastic surgery on his face. And you add that to the – when a guy does that – I mean, I think that's a bad decision typically for a woman to do that, but when a man does that, all bets are off psychologically. If a guy gets
did
plastic
he have?
Surgery. I think he did. I think he got a facelift.
He had a facelift?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I judge men with obvious plastic surgery much more harshly than women.
Yeah.
I got to see. I do too. Because society almost forces women into it, and it, depending on what their profession is. If they work with your dad, it's a different story.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
I like that sort of a. It could be new code for lesbian. You work with Rob's dad? Understood.
Yeah.
Like friends of Dorothy.
Yeah. I like the footage of him punching out the guy who said he didn't land on the moon. That guy. I mean, that's basically who he is.
Yeah.
Not long on a sense of humor. All right. What do we got next?
Brian mentioned Nixon. Mm. Well.
I did?
Yeah. You said the Right Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a segue. It's not important. Oh. Anyway, though, there's sort of another potential Watergate-esque situation happening. I don't know how much you've heard about this. Ooh. It appears that some people in Chris Christie's inner circle may have orchestrated a traffic jam or made traffic worse in Fort Lee, New Jersey, in order to, it appears to be, it was like retribution because the mayor of Fort Lee didn't back Chris Christie. And so emails and texts have come out today.
So they caused a traffic jam?
Yeah, they so Christie's deputy chief of staff, Bridget Ann Kelly, wrote in August to a Christie appointee who was on the Port Authority in New York. She wrote, "Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee." And then he wrote back, "Got it." And a few weeks later, he closed two of three lanes connecting Fort Lee to the heavily traveled George Washington Bridge, which runs between New Jersey and New York City.
Interesting.
Hang on one second.
People are treating this like they treated the remember the Saints bounty scandal. Remember, it's like, oh, I'm shocked and outraged that they would pay. Every fucking team from college above Canadian football, professional football, has offered $5,000 to whoever takes out the quarterback. That's how that's happened for time immemorial. I'm sure this has happened in Chicago and every big city probably has some version of this. Oh, they won't play ball. Let's make life miserable for them.
Well, Fort Lee's councilwoman said,
"I agree.
I think this is 10 times worse than Watergate because this affected so many more lives and their health and safety." Because it's a very heavily traveled.
But I fucking hate traffic, and I do hate punishing people that really have nothing to do with whatever
it is you're
doing. Right,
because so many people had nothing to do with this.
Precisely.
Well, and the mayor has a right to back whoever he wants, but just innocent, just people trying to use the road were fucked.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Christie said, "I'm outraged and deeply saddened to learn."
Outrage never means outrage.
It really doesn't.
Deeply saddened. By the way, sort of sad means more sad than deeply saddened.
Truly, absolutely, 100% all the time.
Deeply saddened never means deeply saddened.
Right, just like I apologize is less than I'm
sorry. And outrage never means
regret.
Outrage.
Deeply, I regret.
I'm outraged and deeply saddened to learn that not only was I misled by a member of my staff, because apparently he had looked into it before and found out that he had nothing to do with it, but this completely inappropriate and unsanctioned conduct was made without my knowledge. People will be held responsible for their actions.
Mm.
But, people think that he's kind of a bully.
Couldn't
and
he
this
just
is
go
adding
out,
to his reputation
couldn't
as
he just
a bully.
Go lay down and take up three lanes and choke the city off, bring it to its knees. He can just go up there and have it just trip.
Chris Christie roadblock.
He's literally just laying down.
Jump up and down on it and be like, structural integrity compromise, got to shut the bridge down.
That's right.
People are wondering if this could be the end for him.
I think people, especially nowadays, overestimate the effect that any scandal's going to have.
Yeah.
You know, so I think people are like, oh, this is the thing I'm supposed to get mad about today. Not that if that's not true, of course that's reprehensible. But you know, people.
I think we've now, unfortunately, back to your sports reference. We have decided we've all picked a team, and if the guy on your team is accused of rape. It ain't no big deal. He still needs to start on Sunday, and everyone needs their day in court, and blah, 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 and who knows? She may have been asking for it. And if it's on the other team, he should be carted off into jail and they should throw away the key.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we are politically.
A lot of people
And
are.
It goes back a long ways, but even, you know, something like Clinton, certain people were outraged, other people weren't outraged. It kind of depends on what team you're on. If you're on Team Clinton, even so what he does. Yeah. If you weren't, you were pissed anyway and looking for an excuse, and then we're there now. I don't feel like this changes much with him. And I like a lot of the things he does. I don't know a ton about him. I like the idea that he walks up and down the boardwalk at 350 pounds, eating like a soft swirl ice cream and fucking screams at people he's going to choke them. I like that about him. I don't know why.
I know a lot of fat people who excel at their chosen profession. I think there's obviously you don't want to be morbidly obese, and you know it's a good idea for role models to address their physical health. But I think fat people, there's an anti-fat bias, and you know.
Absolutely. I would argue, you know, there's a handful of jobs like roofer, not great when you're fat, but president, a lot of air conditioning, a lot of hanging around, and you're always flying first class. You know, so it's not like you're squeezing out some guy in a Southwest flight, you're lard ass. And also, we always talk about, it's like, is America ready for, you know, the news does two stories, which is insane. They go, is America ready for an overweight president?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, childhood obesity.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, we're ready.
Yep.
We've
been fattening ourselves
up.
We've had plenty of them, but we've been fattening ourselves up in preparation for our first. You know,
we've been in training for it.
And we talked about this earlier, this notion of, well, we want a fire department that represents the constituency. Well, if the constituency is mostly fat, I mean, if we figured out that most Americans could lose 30 pounds, then why not get one of us in the White House? I mean, that is sort of the ultimate one of us.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
truly.
The one thing that will unite the black and the white man is the fat man, right?
No doubt.
I think that if Watergate happened now, it would not be nearly the huge deal it was back then.
Well, I think it could be argued there's, you know, with the NSA stuff, that's pretty Watergate-y, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because spying back then involved a bunch of technology that wasn't really in use back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so much more nefarious, but it was filled with mystery. Like, what, they hid microphones, they hid cameras. Huh. Now it's like everyone's got a hidden microphone.
Exactly.
It's called their cell phone.
Yeah.
And everyone can hear whatever they're saying. And we're all over this with YouTube and everything. Do you turn on TMZ? You know, it's just a bunch of long-range photographers taking pictures of Jennifer Aniston on a beach in Mexico. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. It was all scandalous back then. Now it's sort of everyday business.
Yeah.
All right.
Mary Kay Letourneau, remember her?
No,
the teacher
yeah.
who had the affair with her student and ended up with him.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry.
Who were you thinking of?
I went to Buttafuoco.
Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
Kopechne.
Sorry.
Mary Jo. Ted Kennedy killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mary Jo Buttafuoco,
yeah, she was married to the, like, Samoan guy?
Yeah.
Vitaly.
Was his name Vitaly?
Vili.
Vili. Yeah.
Oh, Vili.
Fulau.
And they, like,
boxer.
They had kids, and it's like they were ordered not to see each other by the court, but they saw each other anyway.
And she was convicted of raping him. He was in sixth grade, and she was 34.
Hey, I've said it once. I know it's a controversial stance, but I stick by it. Anything that you beat off to years later is not rape. If that would be the only question I would need to ask if I was defending the woman, which is, have you ever masturbated to what my client did to you so many years ago? And if the answer is yes, how could it be a crime? There's really nothing. You literally pleasured yourself to this fantasy. How could it be? And this is a little more with the 15-year-old boys who are banging the Florida teacher who's hot and blonde. You know they've spanked off to that.
Yeah.
You know, some of those guys have been married for 7 years now and are still beating off to fucking their teacher when they were 14, right?
What are you doing in the shower so long, honey?
Huh?
So leave me alone.
You've been in there for
Hey, hand me that peachy folder. Don't ask.
It is weird to think about 34 and 12, though.
That's
oh,
a little.
12, yeah. That's even for a boy, that's. Because, you know, they say the frontal lobe or whatever doesn't even develop until you're in your 20s and stuff. Not that it, obviously, it's legal before that, but. Yeah, I would advise if any of my clients are listening, don't fuck a boy if you're an adult woman, because that would be a bad idea.
I mean,
I agree, but historically, there's been billions of 12-year-old boys who fucked older chicks
for sure.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, my buddy Ray, like, nailed his babysitter or something when
wow.
he was really young, and he was the toast of the town, absolute toast of the town. I would have given them the keys to the city, but we were in North Hollywood. We didn't have keys. We had a PIN number.
So anyway, she's back in jail.
She's back.
But oh. not for anything exciting this time. It was just because she failed to appear in court after driving on a suspended license.
Wow.
Yeah,
she's a bunch sexy. Of bad decisions.
I am...
Mary Kay.
I am always surprised at how attractive... There's two things that sadden me in life. One is... how attractive most teachers are who have sex with their male students. Like, your impulse, like, all right, she's 30-something, he's 12 or whatever. Like, oh, God, she's got to be fucking frightening. Yeah. They're usually way above the Mason-Dixon line and just, you know, average women attractiveness. You know, they're good 7+. Mm-hmm. And the ones that also agree to marry serial killers in prison. Sad that the teachers that molest their young students and the young brides of the serial killers are much better looking than the average woman I used to date when I was single.
Yeah, you're really right.
Yeah, what is
That's
that?
Fucking sad, right? I was like gainfully employed. I wasn't a felon.
Yeah.
I wasn't unattractive.
And it's not like I mean, I was going to say, is crazy attractive? And I know it can be, but there's plenty of mugshots that would suggest that crazy is not always attractive.
Yeah.
Right.
But it can be. I mean, crazy, knows, doesn't care what you look like, and it will happily jump into a good-looking person's body.
But you know, really, if you just took me when I was swinging a hammer back in the day and driving a truck and living a civilian lifestyle, the women I dated probably couldn't compete with most of the teachers that were raping their students and most of the crazies that married serial killers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, based on what they show on TV.
It's a sad testimonial. And I know personality factors in a little bit, but come on.
Maybe it's like, you know, phrenology, like that discredited head shape science. Maybe crazy, the part that wants to fuck a boy or a serial killer, just fits in a good-looking skull shape or some weird shit. You know, there's got to be.
No, that is a very... viable, very astute, and very viable.
An explanation as any.
No, that is solid. I'll fucking buy that. I'll buy it like I'll buy TaxAct.com, baby. Oh, filing your federal taxes with TaxAct.com. Very easy. Easy, fast, and free. That's right. TaxAct.com guides you every step of the way. You can start anywhere and finish any time. Use your computer, use your tablet, use your phone. Imagine that. Just weather delay at the airport, get your taxes done.
What you doing over there? Yeah, doing my taxes.
Doing my taxes.
Must
love
cost
it.
A fortune. You're doing your phone?
No, doing it for free. Save money and get your maximum refund guaranteed. No restrictions. TaxAct.com. Federal taxes are free to prepare, free to print, free to e-file, free to e-file. So, go to TaxAct.com/Adam today. That's TaxAct.com/Adam. TaxAct.com. You got this, baby. All right, let's do one more, baby girl.
This is a story out of Oregon. An Oregon waitress lifted a credit card receipt from a bill, and then she found an envelope with a question mark on it, and she opened it, and there were 17 grams of meth. So she went to her manager, told him to call the cops, and it turned out that the people who... she thought it was a tip. It was being left as a tip, although there's some question about that. Turned out the couple who had either left it as a tip or just left it at the table were still at the restaurant. So the cops came, arrested them, da da da. But my whole thing is just, would that be the first your first impulse if you find drugs in an envelope to call the cops?
It feels very Squaresville, baby.
Yeah.
It feels like after school special Squaresville. Like, there's a lot of times when people like go. I found this, or I called the cops, or I did this, or I called the cops. My last I'm almost black this way. I don't want the fuzz involved at all. Good or bad. I just don't I don't want Johnny Law. I don't want the popo coming down. I don't feel like there's anything that's good that could come from it. And there's a potential, like, fill this out, wait for this. Pay oh, more. By the way, yeah. We're going to need you to come into court and go ahead. Yeah. This guy, he's in a group called the they're called the Mohican Devils. Anyway, they're a biker group. Anyway, we need your testimony. Like, no, yeah. I'm just going to fucking take this, either do it myself or throw it away and just move on with my life.
Yeah. And then I would have to be like, guys, what's this? Is this drugs? I'd probably have to do that.
Yeah, but either way, there wouldn't be a manager and the cops.
No.
Just figure why get the man involved with this? But anyway, the cops showed up.
And so then they, you know, searched the people and went back to their motel and arrested them.
Did they call the cops as soon as they had the drugs or as soon as they realized people were still in the restaurant?
My understanding was as soon as they found the drugs, they called the cops.
They should be arrested for putting a question mark over a thing that contained powder. Because I feel like you are not helping at all.
No.
This could be rat poison. It could be Bolivian shale. Yeah. You know, it could be something good. It could be something bad.
I thought meth was in a crystallized form. Is it not? You're going to find this hard to believe. Never done meth.
Oh.
Really? You seem Jesus like. Christ. Yeah, I haven't either.
Squaresville, man.
I thought it was. Wait, no, but these.
Well, there's crystal meth. I guess there's the kind you would smoke,
pills,
and then there's the kind you would snort.
Okay,
and the
powder form would be the kind that you snort. But again, the question mark feels like. But you know, it's always funny when we do these things where you go, the guy walked into a 7-Eleven. He tried to rob the 7-Eleven with a banana and then insisted the clerk call the cops. He was arrested. They found a kilo of methamphetamine up his ass. And it's like, what an idiot. You go, what an idiot. You go, no, the guy's a junkie. Yeah. He's super high on drugs. This is why drugs are bad. It impairs your decision-making process. You go, oh, what an idiot. You left this envelope underneath that. Yeah, that's called being high. That's why we don't want you.
Habitual meth user.
That's why we don't want you driving school buses and doing other things of that nature, because you're a little impaired in the decision-making department.
Judgment. Yeah.
Yeah, we act like sober us left our sack of cocaine at the Denny's.
You know, 12 years ago, I went to Las Encinas Hospital for a month, the rehab that Dr. Drew
really?
Works at. Yeah, for alcohol, and I've been sober since. But
whatever.
There were people there with, you know, there were meth heads, coke heads, junkies and everything. But the biggest fucking idiots were the people who smoked meth. Their brains were
my
not
God.
Coming back.
Yeah. But then it becomes a sort of chicken or the egg, like the guys who think it's a really good idea.
Yeah. Oh, I should do meth. Yeah.
Also, it's such an uncomfortable high. It's like it's such a shitty high. It's a high where you think you get super paranoid and think it'd be a good idea to cut your inner thigh.
Yeah.
You know, what?
Yeah.
I like a high where, you know, give me fucking mushrooms. Like that, everything sounds like a sitar and I want to fuck everybody and everyone's on a pillow that looks like a mushroom. I mean, that's a high.
Yeah.
You want to get high? Fucking eat some mushrooms or drink some red wine. Like I can tell you know, have a little hit off a doobie and then pour yourself some red wine and just chill out. That's high. This a fucking, you know, my roommate's trying to stab me, so I'm going to stab him first. Like, it's a
What's
fucked up high.
Enjoyable?
And I haven't slept for 52 hours.
What's the enjoyable part of it?
I don't know. The notion of I've been up for 6 days already sounds
invincible.
Insanely miserable. Here's what it is. I've been up for 6 days and I'm not eating. But my two favorite items are eating and sleeping.
Yeah.
I wish I could eat while I was asleep, but I think I would choke. I'm going to try to get my wife to feed me while I'm asleep. We'll start with small things, you know, pieces of bread, smoothies and things like that. We'll move up to pot roast and then bigger items, you know, fish that have bones and stuff like that. But the idea that you knock off the two greatest things, you can't get a boner. You don't want to eat, and you never go to sleep. That's it. Those are big three for me.
I think at first, I mean, I don't know, but I think at first you can get a boner and you play with it until it falls off. I mean, rub it raw and ruin it is what I heard people did.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
With my penchant for liking to pick scabs.
Oh no, you
I'm
can't
like,
do it.
I'm.
Don't do meth.
Dude. I'd be so good at meth.
But feeling, and then so you can't go to bed, so you do more. It just feels
no,
right?
No.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it's the addiction kicks in really fast.
That's going to be a factor, too.
Yeah. I can tell you good cocaine is fucking yummy. Kids, are you listening? Good cocaine is scrumdilicious.
Well, that's what
and
I'm
like,
saying.
That I
people understand that. So
that I understand.
But
what are you talking about?
That I understand. That's my kids. That is yummy. If I walked in and saw my kids sniffing a mysterious powder, I wouldn't scream at them. I'd go, is that coke or speed?
Yeah, what are we working with here?
And then daddy needs a bumper freeze, depending on what we're working with here. But if it was speed, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Coke, you know, I'd have to sit him down, really kind of talk to him.
Got to use this stuff responsibly.
That's right.
With me.
That's right.
We're going to talk about this later tonight.
That's right. Hold on. Let daddy get a foil, some foil and a wooden spoon. All right. Now, what were we saying?
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, GoToMeeting, baby. Start your New Year's off right with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. You can get together with the clients and the coworkers, even when you're miles apart. You increase productivity, not like those crackheads. Hell, they're not productive at all. They're the opposite of productive. They're deductive?
Unductive.
Shit. Unductive. They're unductive is what they are.
Anti-ductive.
They're anti-ductive. Anyway, use GoToMeeting. It's smart. You can use it on your computer. You can use it on your mobile device. You can launch a meeting in seconds. You can share the screen. You can collaborate with the documents and the spreadsheets and the projects in real time. Turn your webcam into a beautiful face-to-face meeting, and you do it free. That's right. 30 days free, a free trial. No credit card required. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. That's GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right. What do I want to tell you guys? Mangria. Woo. Royal Oak in Michigan coming up. Cloverleaf Wines and Spirits coming up on January 30th. I'll be there and come taste a little Mangria, sign a bottle for you. And what's that say?
Amherst, New York.
Amherst. When the hell is this? All right.
Must be tied to the
right before your Buffalo show.
Oh, right before the Buffalo show. All right. Amherst, New York at Premier Wine and Spirits. That'll be Saturday before the Buffalo show. On the 1st, and if you want to know where the live shows are going off and the books and all that good stuff, you just go to amkroll.com. I want to thank Dr. Spaz for coming in here. I want to thank Rob Delaney for coming in here. The book, Rob Delaney, just go to Amazon, click to our site, of course, and just type in Rob Delaney and find his book. Also doing some live dates at the Hollywood Improv. Go to his website, robdelaney.com. You can find out when and where he's going to be January 11th at the Hollywood Improv. So, till next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Spaz, Rob Delaney, Allison Rosen, Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
If any of my clients are listening, don't fuck a boy if you're an adult woman, because that would be a bad idea.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Live podcast this Saturday night in Long Beach at the Gas Lamp. Two in Park West at Park West in Chicago, January 31st. One at the University of Buffalo, February 1st. And Adam's solo stand-up show in Detroit at the Motor City Casino on January 30th. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, stand-up, Mangria events, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.